This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday. Our hour of radio drama begins with High Adventure this week. We'll hear their episode from July 12th, 1980, titled Lucky Break. After that, it's Zero Hour and Wanted, A Willing Companion. That story aired May 28th, 1974.
Adventure. Tonight's story by Ron Evans is entitled Lucky Break.
Things of life. The briar on the beach, big sizzling steaks, and a good beer for a good thirst.
Icy cold, rich and cold, down a line, feel satisfied.
Lion Lager, the colder, the tastier, the better. Down a line, feel satisfied.
If you like smoking cigarillos, the best is Elcano. Filter-tipped Elcano is made from the finest cigar tobaccos, including leaf from Java and the West Indies. For a pleasant, new smoking experience, try a pack of Elcano cigarillos today. You'll like them. Elcano, ideal for smoking anywhere, anytime. Elcano.
Not long after the war finished, I was a member of the five-man crew on a small motor yacht. Her name was Sadie Girl, and was employed carrying small cargoes from port to port in the Caribbean and the Central American coast. It was a lazy, easy-going life. The pay was peanuts, and none of us, not even the skipper, Hugh Mackay, took the job very seriously. We were more or less killing time until the world settled down from the chaos of the war. I suppose you could have called us 1946-style hippies. Apart from the occasional seasonal hurricane, very little happened to write home about. Until one day. We had put into a small port in one of the banana republics, and early in the morning offloaded 30 crates of machine spares. We had to wait for clearance papers before leaving, but we were in no particular hurry to go. I was leaning over the rail just before midday, looking at the town. With me was Louis Benet, who looked after our twin diesel engines.
Oh, it is hot, Stan. I think I'll sleep the afternoon away, just like these people here.
Yes, the afternoon siesta is contagious, like the flu.
I can understand it. The heat makes a man so weary.
Yes, I know. Where I live, they call it Natal fever.
You make it sound like a bad disease.
Oh, it is, Louis, believe me.
Look! What are those planes doing?
Lightning low-level bombers.
Maybe it is some kind of an air show.
Noisy damn things. Must have got them as a present from the Americans, so they have to show them off with...
They are not showing off. Look!
Hey, they're bombing the town.
See? The way they go, bombing and shooting up everything.
Careful, Louis. They're turning to come in again for another bombing run.
What in heaven's name's going on out here?
A bombing raid.
Oh, the maniacs. What are they playing at?
A revolution, I think.
Get down! They're machine gun in the streets. Oh, the fools are firing wide. It's better we all go down the road.
The planes are coming back.
You're right. Now they've gone.
Look at that smoke rising over the town. The beggars must have caused a lot of damage.
Wonder what all that was in aid of.
I don't know and I don't care. The sooner we get our clearance, the happier I'll be.
About 10 minutes later, our shipping agent came on board and told us what was happening. The country was run by a President Barras, and a military coup led by a dissident General Diaz was succeeding. Motorized divisions of rebel troops were at that moment entering the town. Thinking that such matters were of little concern to us, we had lunch in the tiny mess room. Marty Baxter, an American, kept watch on the deck. From the town came sporadic bursts of shooting where the rebels met odd pockets of resistance.
Yeah, can't we sail without the clearance, skipper?
We could do, but it isn't advisable. We've a good excuse, considering the conditions ashore.
Why don't we, then?
I'd rather not. It can lead to awkward questions at the next port. Besides, the agent reckons he may be able to get us some cargo from here.
Oh, is it worth it?
Well, any cargo's worth it. As you know, the mainsail is getting a bit tatty, and I'd like to renew it the next time we're in Kingston.
There's an army officer coming on board, skipper. He's got a dozen or so soldiers with him.
Well, you fellows finish your lunch. I'll deal with him. He probably wants to check our papers.
He's bringing two men on board with him, skipper. Looks like an officious little jerk.
Stop scowling, Marty. A smile goes a long way with these people.
Buenas tardes, senor. I want el capitán.
I'm the captain. It seems like you're having something of a fireworks show in town.
I am Colonel Satardo of the People's Revolutionary Army. We have occupied the town in the name of El General Diaz.
That was quick, eh? But why the bombing raid?
It is necessary to soften up the civilian population so they will receive us with little resistance. I want to see your papers, senor. Registration book, logbook, and your cargo manifest.
Certainly. They're all here in the wheelhouse. You'll find everything in order.
For your sake, El Capitan, I hope so.
The logbook.
See. The registration certificate.
Here you are. Registered in Kingston, Jamaica.
What nationalities are your crew?
Well, let me see now. There's Alec Jackson and me. We are British subjects. Marty Baxter, he's an American, and Stan Darrow, he's a South African, and finally we have a Frenchman, Louis Benet.
Yeah. I see by the registration that you are also the owner.
Yeah, I am.
Which makes you fully responsible for all the cargo you carry.
I suppose so. Why, is there something wrong?
Is this the cargo manifest? I thought so. These 30 crates of machinery spares... Are they still on board?
No. We discharged them between 8 and 9 this morning.
Are you aware of their real contents? Did you look?
What would I want to look at machinery spares for? And what do you mean by real contents?
Those crates contain German Schmeisser machine guns.
What?
You have been gun running, senor.
Well, it's not my responsibility to open cargo, Colonel.
But you are responsible for what this boat carries. And you were carrying weapons for the enemy. There. You see the name of the consignee?
Agencia de Mayo. What's wrong with that?
It is the name used by President Barras when he wishes to import illegal goods.
He was the president. What was to stop him importing arms legally?
He was made president 3 years ago on the condition that no arms would be imported. He used these means to arm men who were loyal to him and the enemies of the militia.
Well, I wouldn't have taken those crates aboard if I'd known that.
I find that hard to believe, El Capitan. I think you were well paid for bringing them here.
Only the usual cargo rates?
I want those crates. My troops are poorly equipped. And those Schmeisser machine guns will be most useful.
Well, I can't help you there, I'm afraid.
See, perhaps it is too late. However, I'm very angry at what you have done.
Well, I'm sorry, Colonel, but the weapons were innocently carried.
There is much gun running in the Caribbean, and it is my duty to stamp it out as far as my country is concerned.
But my boat is not a gunrunner, Colonel.
You carried guns which we can prove. It makes you a gunrunner.
But surely you must understand
that... You are a gunrunner.
Oh, now let's be sensible about this.
Tell your crew to come out on deck. I want to speak to them.
Ah, very well. But they know even less about this than I do.
Just shout down the hatchway to them.
Hey, down there. Come up on deck, will you, fellas?
Something wrong, skipper?
Doesn't matter. Just come up here.
Tell them to line up against the rail here.
Stand against the rails, boys.
What's all this about? An inspection?
Silence, please. This vessel is herewith impounded by the People's Republic.
But you can't... Do you
Silence! You have been carrying illegal arms into this country.
Rubbish.
You think so? Ask your captain.
Is that true, skipper?
I'm told that those crates we offloaded this morning contain machine guns.
Did you know?
No. Colonel Sotado's only just told me.
I will continue. The vessel is impounded, and I am taking your captain into custody. Until I can get an authority from General Diaz, what must be done with him?
You can't do that. Hey, skipper,
come on. Stand still! My men will shoot you down if you attempt to interfere.
Now, look here, Colonel. There's got to be some mistake.
There is no mistake. As for you men, you will remain on board this boat until further notice. If you are lucky, you will be repatriated to your own countries. Is that fully understood?
Oh, but this is crazy. I want to see the United States consul.
Consul? We have no time to waste on consuls. Are you ready, your captain?
Ugh, very well. Don't seem to have much choice.
You have none.
What could we do? We didn't even have so much as a water pistol on board to defend ourselves with. Helplessly, we watched Hugh being marched off to the town prison. Colonel Sotado placed two armed guards at the foot of our gangway with a warning that if any of us tried to get ashore, we'd be shot on sight. And we believed him, too. The firing in town had stopped by now, and the streets were nearly deserted. It was the time of the sacred siesta, when everyone other than those on essential duty had a nap. A nap that often lasted 4 hours. We didn't sleep, though. Instead, we watched the shore, wondering about Hugh Mackay's fate, not to mention our own. It seemed as though our idyllic lifestyle was about to be brought to a sudden conclusion. Just after one, a smart American car came to a halt at the foot of the gangway, and Colonel Sotado marched aboard. He looked the four of us up and down like we were unsavory biological specimens, and then announced,
"I regret to inform you that on instructions from General Diaz, your captain has been sentenced to death. The firing squad will execute him at first light in the morning as a warning to other gunrunners."
Hey, you gotta be joking.
To prove I am not joking, I shall arrange for you to attend the execution.
But he hasn't had a trial.
This country is under martial law. The only law is that laid down by General Diaz.
What about us?
We are satisfied of your innocence. As for the vessel, you are free to sail it away. After the execution, of course. Bon voyage.
We stared at each other, stupefied. Hugh Mackay to die by firing squad? It was unthinkable. When the shock had died down, we trooped down the companionway into the tiny mess room. Louis made a pot of coffee while we pondered on how to handle the situation. Thanks, Louis. I need this. Well, Marty, what do you think? Do we sail off and leave Hugh to his fate?
Seems a darn lousy thing to do.
What alternative is there?
Well, maybe one of us could go and see if there's a British consul in this dump.
There isn't. It's not like a proper seaport.
Yeah, besides that, you'll never get ashore. Those two armed monkeys are still at the foot of the gangway. Well, we'll just have to grin and bear it.
With an I'm all right, Jack attitude?
Well, have you got a better plan?
The back wall of the prison is less than 100 yards away from the ship. We can see it clearly from the deck. The agent pointed it out to me this morning.
So what's that got to do with anything?
Well, I reckon that siesta time's the best time to make a commando raid on it.
Are you out of your skull?
Yeah, so who's joining me?
voertuig met genoeg turf om haar als in te wurmen. Gestevelige sporen voor enige struikelblok. Baie soos dat zo'n bakkies. Op het denktoetsterrein moes hulle wys wat aan hulle steek. Een dubbelband staalbak voor alle aanslaan. En geriep waar die denkbemanning verstom het. Dat zijn 1400, 1800 King Cab en vierwiel aangedreven trekker. Kracht, economie, betrouwbaarheid, gemak. Dat zijn bakkies, denk genoeg voor die tijdste dag.
Rothman's Extra Length, finest filter, and the best tobacco money can buy give true king-size flavor. That's why, all over the world, Rothman's King Size is offered with pride, accepted with pleasure. Rothman's King Size really satisfies.
Come down to Earth, Stan. What do we use for weapons?
Well, the rifles those two guards have look okay to me.
Are you really serious?
Well, I'm certainly not going to sit around here while they prepare to shoot Huey.
It's not practical, Stan. Look, how do we get over the wall into the courtyard? And then we have to get into his cell. There's likely to be dozens of soldiers guarding the place, too.
We'd be lucky to get across the street in one piece. The whole idea stinks, man.
Take no notice of them, Stanley. I'll go with you.
Thanks for the offer, Louis, but we need you on board to get the engines ready for a very rapid departure.
I don't know. It's a pretty tough assignment. We'd be sure to get our rear ends blown off.
Not the way I see it.
The way I see it is all five of us facing a firing squad in the morning.
Have you already worked out a plan or something?
A good one.
Plans of a nasty habit of backfiring, Stan.
I was a commando operations officer during the war, Alec. I should know what is possible and what isn't.
Yeah, but it's still lousy odds. Now four lives being risked for just one. I ain't got no inclination to be a dead hero.
No, me neither.
Look, if we leave it much later, all the locals will start waking up from their siesta, then we have no chance. But if I show you a workable plan, will you join me? Marty?
Sure. If I think it's workable.
Alec, what about you?
Let me hear the plan first.
That's more like it. Okay, now I don't know how observant you are, but did you see that mobile crane just ahead of us? I knew all along they'd join me. They just wanted convincing, that's all. I didn't dare express my own doubts to them. Instead, I brimmed over with enthusiasm. It was catching, like the flu and siestas. I've learned from experience that the simplest plans are always the best, and this was simple to the extent of lunacy. Enclosing the prison courtyard was a 15-foot wall with broken glass on the top. After shinning up our mast, I could see a row of cell windows running the length of the building, which was single-story. I was gambling that the skipper was locked up in one of them.
I'd better go and get the engines ready. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Louis. We're gonna need it.
Have you finished tying that rope to the lifebelt?
Yeah, let's go.
Marty and I each had a cork lifebelt with a long length of rope attached. At the head of the gangway, we made as if to tie them onto the rail. The two soldiers were chattering to each other, but quickly turned and unslung their rifles when they saw Alec walking casually down the gangway.
Alto!
Aquí, amigos!
Curious, the men walked over to him. They were suspicious, too, their eyes glued only on Alec. That was when Marty and I did our cork lasso act. It all happened in a few seconds. The guards were less than 10 feet away and slightly below us. The life belts dropped over their heads, and we gave a hard tug on the ropes, bowling them over.
Grab their guns, Alec!
As the guards went down, Marty and I jumped and ran to help Alec, who kicked one and grabbed his rifle. The other soldier brought up his rifle at Alec just as Marty lashed out at him from behind.
Not so fast, pal.
Oh, good man, Marty.
I'll take his gun. What do we do with them, Stan? Cut their throats, huh?
No, Marty, just leave them. We don't want any unnecessary killing.
Yeah, Stan's right, so put that knife away. They won't come around for quite a while yet.
Come on, let's make a run for that mobile crane and keep low just in case. We made it in fast time. Still, we hadn't seen another living soul apart from the guards. The stinking heat and humidity was working for us like a charm. Marty managed to start the engine. We moved out into the road and toward the prison wall. Alec was driving.
Aim right for the middle, Alec.
The jib's too high. Bring it down a bit.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Just a bit closer now. Okay, that's dead right.
Marty and I climbed the jib, the top of which was protruding over the wall. Alec let down the hook to the ground on the other side of the wall.
Hey, it's worked like magic, Stan.
We've a long way to go yet, boy. Now you stay up there on top of the jib and give me covering fire if the screws start coming out.
Okay, but I'll bet you $50 are still asleep.
I used the cable to get down on the inside of the courtyard. I quickly looked around, barely able to believe my luck had held out. It was still deserted, and the only prisoner not taking a siesta was staring at us from a barred window. It was the skipper. He waved. I grabbed the heavy hook and signaled to Marty to tell Alec to slacken the cable. When I heard the winch reversing, I started to drag the hook toward the cell block. It was heavy. The more the cable was paid out, the heavier it got. To make matters worse, I was expecting a fusillade of shots in my direction at any second. I thought I was never going to make it. Was the cable long enough? Yes, I was there. All bad things come to an end. The skipper's face was lined with excited tension.
Oh, you're a hero, Stan. I thought I was going to be...
Never mind the flattery. Help me hook this through the bars.
Right, man. I've got it. Oh, you're a ruddy genius.
All right. Is it firm?
Oh, like a rock.
Okay, skipper. I'm going back to the wall. As soon as those bars snap out, get out and run like fury. Just grab the cable and Alec will winch you up. You got that?
Go on, Stan. I'll make it snappy.
As I ran back for the wall, I signaled to Marty, who passed it down to Alec. The winch drum turned, the cable tightened and took the strain. Nothing was happening. There was a loud metallic clang above my head. The strain had forced the jib down onto the top of the wall. Something had to give.
The cable's gotta go!
Never mind, tell Alec to keep heaving.
The rear wheels are up off the ground, Stan. It won't take much more.
Cracks started to run out along the white wall from the cell window. I could see what was going to happen and hoped the skipper would have the presence of mind to move away from the window. Half of the prison wall fell outwards in a cloud of dust. It was an amazing sight and must have awakened up half the town. I hoped the skipper had a good sense of direction because the dust was like a smokescreen and the caving in of the wall must have released at least a dozen or more other prisoners. Beside me, the loose cable was being reeled in at full speed. Using a handkerchief to protect my hands, I took a firm grip on the cable when it slowed down and was pulled up to the top of the wall.
Well, here's where the battle starts, buddy.
No, don't fire yet. They haven't seen us. They're more than likely trying to round up the other prisoners.
Well, where's the skipper? He must...
There he is. Skipper, hurry up! Get down there with Alec. He may be needing some covering fire. Grab the hook, skipper. That's it. Now hold tight. Okay, Alec, heave away.
Oh, you practically pulled the whole blessed building down.
Here, grab my hand. That's right. Now, easy.
Oh, I'll bet they haven't even missed me yet. It's sheer chaos down there.
Are you okay?
I never fitted.
Well, let's get down that jib then.
After you.
It was when we got into the mobile crane that the first shot was fired.
Straight for the boat, Alec. I'll keep him down.
There he is, behind that tree.
Lousy shot, Marty, but he's gone to ground.
Okay, we'll both keep an eye on him. If he just shows so much as a finger.
He gave us no more trouble. In fact, he was probably the only soldier in the place who really knew what was going on. Alec pulled up beside the gangway and we went up like cats with firecrackers tied to their tails. Louis had watched us coming and was standing by his engines. Alec and I dragged in the gangway while the skipper and Marty cast off fore and aft.
Stan! Marty! You two cover the shoreside with those rifles while I steer out of the harbor.
We slipped out of the harbor only just in time. Troops and armored cars appeared from nowhere. But by the time the firing started, we were already out of range. We were lucky they had no naval launches to take up pursuit. As the land slowly became a dirty smudge on the horizon, we all breathed a loud sigh of relief. Half an hour later, the skipper broke out a fresh bottle of rum and invited us into the mess room for a drink.
Ah, well, that was a smart piece of work, boys. I can't thank you enough. I'm real proud of you.
Oh, it is Stan you have got to thank. It was all his idea.
No. It was teamwork that made the day.
Well, here's to you, Stan.
Cheers. Good luck.
To you, Stan.
Nice to have you back.
Well, that's great. Where are we heading for now, Skipper?
Cartagena. I reckon it's time we all had a few days off to drink and to entertain the ladies. Huh? And what do you say?
Ooh, oh, can't me.
Yeah, but hang on. What'll we use for money, Skipper? We can't have made much on that last run.
I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'll give you each an extra $100. How's that?
$100? From a Scotsman? Without being asked?
What's the catch?
No catch. You deserve it for what you've just done.
Okay, so where's all the dough coming from?
From the proceeds of our last cargo. I was paid well for taking those guns.
You knew about it?
Why, of course. Man's got to make a living, you know.
You could have had us all executed.
Oh, well, one must take a risk occasionally.
What do you reckon, Marty?
I tell you what I reckon. I reckon we should fling him over the side.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, now, wait a minute. What are you all looking so angry for?
You don't know?
Well, not really. I'm giving you your share, aren't I?
Oh, yes, you are. And you're going to double it. Because when we get to Cartagena, my trading days are over.
Double it?
Yeah. Unless you like, we throw you back to your pal, Colonel Sotato.
I still remember the first time we met. Where would so much milk be going, I asked. Oh, not very far, she smiled. Milk doesn't go very far when there's Cadbury's chocolate to be made. Not when you need a glass and a half just to make one slab. Mind you, is it not a very thick slab, said I. Cadbury's chocolate. Thick with a glass and a half of milk.
Die bedrywige, veeleisende lewe wat jy lei, verg baie van jou maag. Sprankelende, verfrissende Eno aktiewe vrugtesout begin dadelik oortollige maagsuur neutraliseer om jou maag na sy normale toestand te herstel. Eno sit weer lus in die lewe.
Sprankelende, verfrissende Eno, borrel jou oorlikheid
weg. Eno aktiewe vrugtesout, gewone of verfrissende suurlemoen, noodhulp vir maag.
I stuck to my plan. When we arrived at the Colombian port of Cartagena, I took my money and worked my passage on a cargo ship back to South Africa. And now, the only boating I do rarely ever takes me out of Durban Harbour. However, I've often since wondered how many times Hugh Mackay had run guns without our knowledge. I very much doubt if that had been the first time.
High Adventure is produced by Henry Diffenthal.
listening to The Zero Hour. Rest your eyes. Exercise your imagination. Today, Kim Weisskopf's overview of an underground newspaper ad. Wanted it. Starring William Shatner. In a Mutual Broadcasting System presentation of The Zero Hour.
Brought to you by the Ford Motor Company, Shenley Industries, Matus Wine, Beechnut Chewing Tobacco, and Dial Soap. This is The Zero Hour on Mutual Radio.
This is Hugh Downs with another car buyer's report from Ford. Car size and fuel economy are important considerations today, but so is the total cost of ownership, which involves purchase price, trade-in value, and operating economy. And Ford feels if you compare mid-size cars, you'll choose Ford Torino. Take some operating economy examples. Torino offers gas-saving steel-belted radial-ply tires standard, runs on regular gas, and has a 26.5-gallon fuel tank that's 20% more capacity than its closest sales competitor. And compare some scheduled maintenance costs. You'll find in the course of 50,000 miles that compared to its closest sales competition, Torino's chassis is scheduled to be lubricated only once to their 8 times. Spark plugs are scheduled to be replaced only half as often. Everyone says compare. Ford says compare not only the cars, but the total cost of owning a car.
The closer you look, the better we look.
Want ads are often misleading, especially those under the heading personals. Mike Matthews responded to one and now finds himself in an awkward position. Pay blackmail or be exposed, but there's hope. Private detective Steve Terrell is on the case, and Terrell just loves his work. In fact, he's even placed an ad of his own. The copy begins, "Wanted, a willing companion," which incidentally is the title of today's story.
Hey, Matthews. Over here. Thought you might have forgotten. Not a chance. Yeah, sit down. What are you drinking?
I'm not. Did you bring it?
You bring the money?
Let's have the photographs first. Where are the negatives?
Well, you didn't really think I'd bring them here.
Listen, Pomerantz, or whatever your name is, you played out your string. This is the last money I can raise.
Look, we're not putting the bite on you for any more. Not now, anyway. But I will take what you brought. Yeah, it's all here. Well, I could at least spring for a drink. What'll you have?
Just stay away from me, Pomerantz. You and that girl both.
Now, behave yourself, Matthews. Oh, and say hello to the wife and kids.
Hi, Mike. How'd it go?
I paid the bloodsucker like you said to Steve, but
good. Go on home. I'll take it from here.
What are you going to do?
It's done.
What do you mean it's done? Pomerantz still has the negatives.
Read this. The one circled in red ink. Pomerantz and his lady friend have got themselves a new boy.
Wanted. A willing companion for weekend rendezvous
of fun and games. Straight, well-endowed businessman looking for free-thinking woman, 25 to 35, to share capital gains.
Well, sounds like a winner, Maggie.
He sounded filthy rich over the phone. I'm meeting him for dinner tomorrow.
Now, just make sure you don't go where you might run into Matthews. You know, I'm against doing this twice in one city.
But this town is crawling with ringers. These street sheets are full of them. Look, why don't you lay off Matthews if he puts you uptight? Starting tomorrow, we'll concentrate on this one. Mr. Steve Thompson.
So my wife won't suspect I'm bringing some paperwork along. You won't mind.
Only if you work on it, Steve.
You're very forward, Miss Pearson.
Well, your ad said free-thinking woman. And please, call me Cindy.
All right, then. Cindy, I'll pick you up at 4 o'clock Friday. Where do you live?
Oh, not my place, Steve. My boyfriend is not a free-thinking man.
Whoa.
I'll meet you.
Where?
Well, how about here?
All right. Gosh, this is really exciting. I've never done this before.
Oh, neither have I.
Here's your check, sir.
Will any of these suffice?
I'm sorry, sir. We don't honor credit cards.
Oh, well, that's all right. I'll take cash.
Keep the change.
Thank you, sir. Have a pleasant evening. Shall we? Cindy?
Hmm?
Shall we go?
Oh. Oh, of course. Vic! Vic!
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, Vic, this one's too good to be true.
Yeah? Well, you better be careful of him, then.
No, I mean it. Thompson's as timid as they come. His wife walks all over him.
Then we gotta watch out for her.
Oh, stop being such a cynic. I had the meal of a lifetime tonight. The bill was over $50, and he paid for it in cash.
Well, he'd better get used to it.
And he tossed down the bourbon pretty good, too, so we shouldn't have any problem knocking him out. You got the film?
Oh, yeah, miles of it. Now, where are you going to be?
I'm meeting him Friday at 4. We'll be driving up to his private cabin near Idlewild. I got the directions.
Oh, yeah, this is good. Now, I'll go up ahead of you and sort of drop in Friday night.
Vic, Saturday night's fine with me. Even with his glasses, he's kind of cute.
Terrell here.
Steve, it's Mike. What happened?
Well, it's all... Shit. What took you so long to call?
It's family night. I had to take Diane and the boys to the movies.
Mm-hmm.
We just got back. Hurry, I don't want her to get suspicious.
Well, I'm a little bummed.
Steve, will you tell me what happened?
Well, a friend of mine has a cabin in the mountains, so stop by my office tomorrow and I'll give you directions. I already gave them to the girl to pass along.
You think she went for it?
Mike, you missed an Academy Award performance.
I'll be sure not to miss the next one.
Mike, who's that?
It's Steve Terrell, private eye extraordinaire.
Yes, Frank. Next time you have a show on the air, call me sooner. It's Frank Baser.
There's a rehearsal in my office at 10 in the morning. Can you make it?
Who's Frank Baser?
He's a writer friend of mine.
Mike?
Oh, sure, Frank. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Okay, I'm passing out now. Bye.
Mike, go up and say goodnight to the boys.
Sure, in a minute.
Is something the matter?
No, why?
You just seem nervous lately.
Oh, it's business, honey. I've got this impossible new account.
Can I do anything to help?
No. I should have the deal closed by Monday.
Now I work dig and ditch, and I'll never get rich, but I've learned me a lesson or two. You judge a good man by the dirt on his hands and beech nuts the tobacco you chew. Since I was a kid, each thing that I did helped teach me what I'm telling you. When you fight, it's to win. When you're right, don't give in. And beech nuts the tobacco you chew. Great thing about being raised around here is they raise you on beech nuts chewing tobacco. Like they say, beech nuts the tobacco to chew, cause it just keeps on getting better, moister, more satisfying. Beech nuts, all you ever need to learn about chewing tobacco. Now, Poppy might yell, but he taught us kids well, and most things he said I still do. I'll live by my word, don't repeat what I've heard, and beech nuts the tobacco I chew.
Steve?
Over here on the couch.
What are you doing?
Not so loud. My head is an echo chamber.
What'd you do, sleep here?
How can you tell?
Ooh. Well, let's get to it. I'm late for work.
Okay. These are the directions. Will you be able to get away Friday night?
Yeah, I told Diane I have a late business dinner, so I'm covered until about 10.
That's long enough if these people work fast.
Well, they do.
I'll let the girl drug me, see, and then Pomerantz comes in and takes his pictures, and the two of them leave, and you follow them back to town and see where they go. You think you can do that?
What happens to you?
Well, I get several hours of blissful, drug-induced sleep and meet you back here Saturday morning. Don't you go in after those two. You're paying me to do that. Mike?
Yeah?
You got any aspirin?
Steve?
My, Steve. You certainly like your bourbon.
Well, I'm just a little nervous.
Steve, come here. Drink up and we'll... How did you put it? Share the wealth.
Gosh, Cindy, I don't know.
Don't you like me, Steve?
Well, sure, I like you. It's just...
Well, drink your drink and then Cindy's going to show you how a free-thinking woman has a good time.
There. Hey, what are you doing?
Taking off your shirt.
What for?
Well, don't be scared.
I'll take off my own shirt if you don't mind.
All right. In that case...
Hey, wait. What are you doing there?
I'm taking off my clothes. Or would you rather do it?
No. I'm a little dizzy. I'll turn out the lights. Oh, Cindy?
Yes? Oh, poor Steve. Vic!
All right, get ready. I'll put him on the bed. Yeah, get his pants and shoes off. I'll set up the camera.
What should I do with his glasses?
Well, does he wear them all the time?
I think so.
Well, then put them on them, then. We don't want his wife to think it's somebody else. You ready?
How's this?
Yeah, that's good. Now hold that pose. Now roll him over. Yeah, that's good.
This is always worth plenty.
No, I can't see his face. There. Hold it there. Good, we got enough. Now get your clothes on.
Look at him. Is that a face a mother could love?
Come on, let's go.
Oh, wait a minute, my ring. I must have dropped it somewhere.
Forget the ring.
Forget you.
Well, I'm not sticking around here.
Well, go on, I'll get home. Steve might have to hitchhike, but that's the way it goes.
All right, but don't be long. You hear me, Maggie?
Just develop the film. I can take care of myself.
Wake up, Terrell. The honeymoon's over.
Go away.
Sorry, old buddy, but I can't. It's me, Lester.
Go away, Lester.
Lester? What are you... Hey, what time is it?
3 a.m.
3 a.m?
You want us to move to Bonnie, Lieutenant?
Not yet.
Lester? Did he say body?
Sure did. And it looks better than yours, even with a hole in it. You look pretty funny with nothing on but socks and glasses. Since when are you nearsighted?
Hold on, Lester. I can explain.
Who's the girl, Steve? Friend of yours? A client, maybe?
No. She's a blackmailer.
Not anymore. She's not. Who's your client, Steve?
You know I can't tell you that, Lester.
Gotta take you in, then.
Lester, can I ask you for a favor?
Ask.
Turn me loose. I'll bring you the killer inside of 24 hours.
Can't do that, Steve.
Yeah, I know.
You didn't kill her, did you, Steve?
Lester, really?
Sorry, I had to ask. We found the murder weapon in the room. It's registered to you.
Well, you better pull over then, Lester.
Can't do that, Steve.
Hate to tell you this, old buddy, but this gun I've got pointed at just says you can.
Is that mine?
Afraid so. Sorry, Lester.
Me too.
24 hours.
You have my word.
Orange or glad?
Glad is what happens when you use Dial soap.
Orange or glad?
It starts right out with a clean, fresh scent that's like nothing else.
Orange or glad?
To get you going clean and fresh.
Orange or glad? Aren't you glad? Hear your style. Aren't you glad? Hear your style. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Hear your style.
Dial washes away the cause of odor on your skin. You just can't buy a better deodorant soap than Dial. And that's saying something. Police, Mrs. Matthews.
Just a minute. Yes?
Sorry to bother you at this hour, Mrs. Matthews, but is your husband home?
Could I see your identification?
Oh,
You mean since I'm not wearing a uniform?
Mm-hmm.
I'm a plainclothes officer. This is my ID card.
May I see it, please? Oh, this says you're a private investigator, Mr. Terrell.
Well, that's true.
What are you doing here?
I'll be frank. Your husband's a client of mine, and I have to see him now.
I'm afraid you can't. Mike's not here.
He's not? Have you seen him at all tonight?
Just for a few minutes. He ran in and ran out. He's closing a business deal.
Well, where'd he go? Do you know?
If I tell you, can I go with you?
I really don't think you should.
Then I won't tell you.
Wait! All right.
I wrote down the address. I'll get it.
Hurry. I've got a borrowed car.
Tell me, Mr. Terrell, is it standard procedure to hire a private detective to investigate a business associate?
It's common practice.
I see. Then why did you have to get the address from me?
I lost it.
And the police car you drove up in?
I found it.
Mr. Terrell, you don't expect me to believe all this.
It's not very convincing, is it?
Not very. Oh. Oh, what's the matter with this car now?
You better pull over. The engine's overheating.
Oh. Well, what do we do now?
Walk. It's not far from here. I'm going in alone. Wait here. Mike! Mike, what happened? You're not making yourself clear. Let me get that gag off.
Is
this clear enough, Thompson? Drop the gun. Oh, now I understand. This was a setup. What are you, jerk? A cop?
No, just a jerk.
Where's Maggie?
Who?
The girl you were with. Oh, yeah. Cindy.
How should I know?
Oh, she ain't come back yet. Looks like we all wait together. Sit down next to your friend there. All right, now put your arms in back of you. There.
That's a little tight.
Well, that's the brakes. Very interesting. Steve Terrell, private investigator. Hey, I got something to show you. Don't go away.
Nice going, Mike. You think you're in trouble. I had to steal a patrol car to get here. When are you going to learn not to speak with your mouth full?
Well, the pictures are still in the fixer, but I thought you might want to look at them anyway.
Not bad. A little grainy, but... Hey, did I do that?
You've seen enough, Private Eye.
Oh, I can't see! I'm blind!
Mike!
The gun! Get the gun!
Somebody help me!
Untie these ropes, please.
Oh, Mike, I was so worried.
Please.
Thanks, honey. Where have you been?
Would you put... Over here,
I was
please.
I'm worried sick. I thought you and the boys had been kidnapped.
No, they're
well, at
sick.
Least put a gag on Pomerantz. I can't stand to hear a grown man cry.
All right, nobody move. Put down the gun, lady.
Hi, Lester.
Hello, Steve. What happened? You got tied up?
Yeah, I got mugged by an insane Boy Scout.
Are you the police?
Yes, ma'am.
Please untie me, Lester.
Who's this?
Name's Pomerantz, I think.
He your client?
No, he's a blackmailer, too.
Mr. Terrell works for me.
What's your name?
Mike Matthews.
You're under arrest, Mr. Matthews.
He didn't do it.
Do what?
Did he? No, I told you, he's a blackmailer. Get me out of this chair.
Steve, you gave me your word you'd deliver the killer.
And I'm good for it. You've only got one guess left.
Who?
Her? You got it. I'd applaud, but I can't.
Diane?
I did it for you, Mike. Yes, I killed that woman.
But why?
I knew you were paying blackmail. The way you've been acting and then the checking account. I've been following you.
You have?
That's how you got my gun, right?
That's right.
You want to know how I figured it out? First you came to the door tonight wearing stockings under your robe. Then I wondered why you'd leave your children alone in an empty house.
Oh.
Then your car. A cold motor doesn't overheat. Then...
That's all, Steve.
No, but there's more.
Sergeant, take him away.
Oh, Lester, how'd you know to come here?
Someone left a note on your office door telling you to meet them here. Must have been Matthews. Gee, that's rough about his wife.
Will you untie me now?
Sure.
Hey, what's the idea? Why the handcuffs?
Sorry, Steve. Got to take in.
What for?
Aggravated assault, grand theft auto, impersonating an officer.
Feels at home on the yard, a fast-packed motor home, whatever you got.
like it a lot. Try some and you'll see.
Matus is a rosé wine imported from the old world to go with everything good. It has a light, easy-to-like taste, so it makes good food even better. Good people, friendlier. And good times, well, just try some and see.
Try some and you'll see.
Imported by Dreyfus Ashby & Company, New York, New York. To be any kind of wine you want it to be.
Hey, 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 Matus Rosé.
I'm Rod Serling. Close your eyes. Exercise your imagination. And join us again on our next presentation of The Zero Hour.
Wanted, A Willing Companion is an original radio drama adapted by Kim Weisgott. William Shatner was heard as Steve Terrell. Featured in the cast were Keith Walker, Miley Robbins, Alan Bergman, Julie Bennett, and Sam Edwards. Zero Hour, created by J.M. Collis, directed by Don Hills, is produced in Hollywood for the Mutual Broadcasting System by Radio Productions Incorporated. Music is composed and conducted by Stanley D. Hoffman. Rochelle Sherman, associate producer. This has been a presentation of the Mutual Broadcasting System.
That's the Relic Radio Show for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from High Adventure and Zero Hour at RelicRadio.com, alongside thousands of other old-time radio episodes, all the other podcasts, and more from the Relic Radio Show. You'll find our Shoutcast stream up and running there as well, with even more old-time radio. And if you'd like to help support it all, help us bring in 15 years of this and all of the podcasts, visit donate.relicradio.com or click on one of the links on the website. Your support is what makes all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have helped out. Thanks for joining me today. Be back next year with another episode of the Relic Radio Show.